show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
Hello, everyone. It's the podcast, the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. Funny little observation from you off the air this morning, Gabs.
What was that?
Just when it comes to people's like Olympic names this year,
yeah,
the biggest names. Ariane Titmus, as Matt Shervington said on our show this morning, it's Titmus in July. It's like
perfect.
Titmus every day.
Should be a public holiday from here on out.
Kaylee McEwen is spelled like McEwen is spelled M C K E O W N. Like it doesn't look like that. Simone Biles has been a big gymnastic star from the States. Where are the Ian Thorpes? Do you know what I mean?
Stephanie Rice.
Right?
Like, give us the four-letter last names.
It's hard for people who have to say these names. It's like every day is like the tennis. They got tough names in the tennis, you know?
They do have very tough names. Anyway. I love it, though. It does show that the world of sport is getting wider
diverse,
which is great.
And it's in broadcasting, if in doubt, mumble. Mumble. We were talking on the show yesterday, and there was a little bit more this morning, about the idea of having a shared Facebook account. So often you'll have a merged name because Facebook doesn't really allow for dual accounts.
We like Kath and John.
Yeah. The example I used, totally made up, was Melissa and Bryce. Don't know where that came from. Two complete made up names. And we did talk a little bit about this on the show, mainly yesterday, that when I see, and you very quickly back me up, Gabs.
Yes.
So I'm looping both of us. In
no, you're right. I did back you up on this.
When you see a shared Facebook account,
yep.
The first thing you ask yourself is, who cheated?
Who cheated? Yes, to me, a joint Facebook account screams trust issues.
Right?
You can't be trusted to have your own account where you can have your own conversation, so we're going to be in this together.
So we said this on the air yesterday, and the woman, the arbiter of all things that are good and truth in my life, my beautiful wife, Michelle, she pulls me up yesterday afternoon and she's like, oh, I heard your Facebook rant. I'm like, oh, okay. That's weird.
How very naive.
You've got your rose glasses on. No, look, she might have a point. So I want to put it out there on 13 10 60. I'm not expecting to get inundated here because I feel like dual Facebook accounts aren't as prevalent as they used to be.
There was a moment in time where there were a lot of them.
100%, like 10
maybe,
years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people merging their... It's like 100%. When they became a couple, they merged their bank accounts and merged their lives.
Get the mortgage in both of our names. Oh, and our social media accounts.
Yeah.
What I want on 13, 10, 60 is someone to answer this question. Do you have a shared Facebook account? But no one cheated. That's the question.
There was no unfaithfulness. Decided for other reasons to create a joint Facebook account. We want to know what those reasons are.
I want to hear those reasons because I feel like after chatting to Michelle, we may have been a little judgy.
A little harsh.
A little harsh on the show yesterday. And
maybe.
I don't, you know, if my wife's calling me out, okay, cool. I'll put it out there. May have jumped the gun a bit. So 13, 10, 60.
I don't know.
Gabby,
I don't think we'll get
Gabby
you up calling.
Still needs convincing. Do you have a shared Facebook account, but no one cheated? All right, that is the question.
Yes.
13, 10, 60. Kate, do you have a shared Facebook account, but no one cheated?
No, I don't personally, but my parents do.
My
grandparents do, and my auntie and uncle do.
I feel like...
There's an age clause?
Yeah, I feel like there's an age clause. Like, because my parents, for example, only use Facebook to communicate with family. Like, that's their connection. So connecting as a couple, I think, is different for the older generation.
Do you mind us asking how old your parents are, Kate?
46.
Oh, okay. Actually, they're quite young. Then no. Who cheated? Sorry, Kate. I'm cheating.
So what is their reason?
Kidding.
Kate?
They weren't big tech people.
Okay.
All right.
We as kids wanted it, and we were only allowed to have it if mom and dad had it. So.
Okay. Oh, so it was out of necessity they had to create a Facebook account in the first place. So they were like, we may as well tackle this together.
I don't know, Kate. So I'm sort of getting vibes as well, too. Like, they're 46, but they're an older 46. Do you know what I mean? Like,
tech-wise.
You know what I mean? Yeah, the fact you say that they're not tech and I don't know. And I'm 36 and I live with like a bloody 76-year-old on the weekends. It's all cup of teas and newspapers, so that's not a judgy comment there. Ridge is here. Hey, Ridge.
How are you?
Good, Ridge. Mate. Do you have a shared Facebook account?
I absolutely do with my lovely wife.
Who cheated?
Which one of you cheated?
Whoa!
Sorry.
I'm a school teacher and I don't want my kids to find out what I'm doing on social media.
But see, I've got teacher friends who just change their name a little bit on Facebook so their students can't find them.
That's a good idea too. We just thought it'd be easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. And have you got one of those weird hyphenated names? Like your name's Ridge, so is it like Ridge and Sophie or...?
Yeah, literally. Yep. So we do have that little thing. It doesn't look great, but it is what it is.
How do you feel about people assuming someone cheated, though?
I was a bit taken back by that, to be honest.
Now he's like, rethinking it.
News to me. Melissa's here. Melissa, do you have a shared Facebook account but no one cheated?
Yes.
Yes?
We've been together for 22 years and there's no chance of cheating.
So
our family's just not huge on technology and we share Facebook marketplace sales and, you know, if we find something on marketplace, we go, hey, check that out. We've got a shared email address too. Oh,
so I'm getting the vibe that you only really use Facebook for marketplace.
Yeah, there's not a lot of checking up and gossiping on it.
Well, you can't if you join, because I use it all the time to gossip about fiancé death. I can't do it if they can see the messages.
If they had a shared Facebook account, the wedding would not be going ahead. Don't worry about that.
This music just makes me feel so Aussie and so proud, especially when our team are doing so amazingly at the Tokyo Olympics. Australia's medal tally so far is 16 in total. So 6 gold, 1 silver,
incredible.
9 bronze. We're doing amazing things. So we thought we'd chat to the amazing Matt Shervington, who is an Olympian himself. He performed in the Sydney 2000 Olympics, but he's also a commentator for Channel 7. And he joins us right now. How you going, Matt Shervington?
Oh, good morning. What a 6 days it's been for the Aussies in Tokyo. It's just been outstanding, hasn't it?
It feels like it's been longer than 6 days.
Oh, tell me about it.
I could definitely do with more than 2 weeks of Olympics. It's such a big build-up. We need to, like, extend it out to be a month.
We'll get onto the Tokyo organising committee, guys, see if we can organise that. We have to highlight some of these moments, Shervo. I mean, the name on everyone's lips over the past few days, Ariane Titmus. She's won 2 golds, the women's 200 metre and 400 metre freestyle. Her coach going absolutely burko, Dean Boxall. It's just been an absolute pleasure to watch.
It's great. It's like Titmus Day every year, Titmus in July. It is just the best. It's everything about Arnie Titmus that makes it so great. The Terminator. She said she would be back. She came back in the 200 fly and 200 free and won again. It was just one of those moments where I think Australia stopped. They went, we've got to watch this, when she swam in the 400 free first off against Katie Ledecky, the greatest of all time, 5 gold medals unbeaten in an individual Olympic event, and she won. And it was that Kathy Freeman moment. Mm. It was that Ian Thorpe moment. It was Kieran Perkins in 1996 in the 1500. So I think for so many people, they'll remember where they were. But then you add the cream on top, which was Dean Boxall, arguably the greatest swimming coach of all time, and doing the box, doing the dry hump against the railing up in the crowd where there were no crowds and there was meant to be no atmosphere. And it's like Dean Boxall all by himself brought all the Olympic atmosphere to the Games.
It was just, he's definitely made it more of a moment than it ever was going to be, even though it was already amazing. We did need to ask you about Kaylee McEwen because, yes, she won a gold medal in the women's 100-meter backstroke, and, yes, that is an amazing feat, but then she came out of the pool and said this on national TV.
What would you like to say to your mum and your sister for now?
Yeah, oh,
I mean, Shervo, it would have had the switch controllers back at 7 panicking a bit.
Well, it's absolutely live, of course, so you get no chance to kind of reel it back in. But she doubled down, didn't she? It was it was very Australian of her. I mean, what else do you say to your parents back home if you are going to use some sort of profanity? It was the perfect way to tie it all up. But Kayleigh McEwen has been one of those superstar athletes that we didn't know a lot about going into the games. And then, you know, these athletes, and I think this is the cool thing about it. I was trying to put my finger on why the athletes are having so much fun and why they seem to be carrying themselves with such humility and grace. And I'll get to Kayleigh in a minute. And I think it's because of that extra 12 months. But for Kayleigh, we saw who she was. And I think it breaks down every now and then when you get to see the real inside and the personality of our athletes. And I think it's the best thing about the games is that we can walk away with these great personalities and great champions.
Yeah, 100%. So well said. We're loving seeing them doing their thing in Tokyo, loving you on the TV. The only place to see it all is 7 and 7 Plus Tokyo 2020 Live. See it on Channel 7 and, yeah, see this guy. That's where he's doing it, the games on 7. Shervo, thank you so much for your time, my man.
We are discussing the phenomenon that is manifesting symptoms. It's been happening to me. I have revealed this week that for the last 10 months we've been trying for a baby, been unsuccessful to this point. But my body has tricked me in manifesting symptoms such as bleeding. Like I've been thinking about it and wanting it so much that it's actually happened. We also had a few callers on before talking about manifesting positive pregnancy tests and just being late on their period. So, you know, it's definitely a thing. So we want to talk to a professional and find out the, I guess, medical background as to how this can occur.
The science behind it. We all know the mind is a powerful thing, but how is it doing this to Gabby, Shane's wife, who was an amazing caller who came through, Bianca, just amazing stories. But we've actually got Show GP. He joins us all the time whenever there's a burning medical question. Dr. Michael Clements, morning again, mate. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Very glad to be talking about something other than COVID. Thank you.
All right. That's pretty much all we've spoken to you about in the past. Dr. Yes. Clements, we're really interested in this whole manifesting symptoms thing, though, because what a weird phenomenon that the body can actually physically do something because you're thinking about it.
Yeah, so we know that the pregnancy symptoms can, you know, coincide with the period symptoms, and everything can sort of happen at different times. And if we're at that heightened sense of wanting to be pregnant, looking for all those symptoms, desperately trying to get pregnant, then our brain can make some of those links, and we can feel some of those symptoms even greater.
So what about mine, for example, where I've never had any kind of spotting in between periods before and then suddenly my body's doing it because I'm thinking about it?
Yeah, that's right. So, well, on the one hand, it could be just coincidence and bad luck. But on the other hand, remember, you know, and it's really great that you're sharing your journey because in general practice, we see so many, potential families trying to fall pregnant. And you know, every period is almost like a stab in the heart as they experience it. And sharing some of these journeys and these hopeful symptoms is really important. So we know that implantation spotting, as you said, is something that can occur once the egg's been fertilised and it's getting ready to lodge in the womb. But there's also ovulation spotting, which is where as you get the hormone surge of the egg being released, some people do experience a day or two of spotting that can be very similar to the implantation spotting.
So obviously, if you're going through this, go and see your GP first thing. That's
totally
a no-brainer. But I mean, how do you treat something like this, Dr. Clements?
Yeah, it's a lot of listening, to be frank. You know, the pregnancy. I guess we all are brought up as teenagers to think you fall to pregnant straight away. You know, as soon as you find the person that you like, and you know that first kiss can cause you to get pregnant. And so when it doesn't happen after 10 months in your journey, in your own journey, you know you'll be coming to see us because you may have had a temporary rise in beta HCG that shows up on a pregnancy test. Remember, many of our patients are now buying these pregnancy tests in bulk, and they're getting ovulation tests in bulk, and they're really watching every single symptom. So they're coming to see us with everything from, you know, the early breast changes, the early smelling changes, hoping that it could be possible that they're pregnant. But sadly, during the period cycle. There can even be chemical pregnancies. That's something that people talk about, which means that pregnancy may have started, but sadly didn't continue.
Right.
And that may have only been for a few days, and that can cause some of these symptoms.
Interesting.
So we've got to sort of reassure as best we can.
So interesting. The mind.
So interesting.
Such a powerful tool.
Yeah.
Thank you for offering a bit of clarity, I guess, for what Gabby's going through and what clearly a lot of our listeners are going through and have been through as well. We just keep getting inundated by stories around this. So great to have your perspective on it. Dr. Michael Clements, thanks again for your time, mate.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Cliffo and Gabby, food dudes.
Yeah. Cliffo and Gabby, food dudes. We sniff out new food concoctions and creations,
yeah.
And we bring you the latest news. And breaking this morning, this is huge. A Viennetta Gaiton is set to go on sale. So,
Viennetta, good. Gay time,
good. If you're not across the Viennetta, it's a log. It's an ice cream log from the, I don't know.
90s?
How, yeah, maybe it creeped around in the 80s, but that's when
it was so popular.
My mind goes back to then. And I want everyone to cast your minds back to the late 80s, early 90s, and think about the Viennetta. We're turning back time.
Rich goodness.
Mainly early 90s for me.
Me too.
And I don't know if it was the same for you and your family, Gabs, but I always knew if Mum was whipping out the Viennetta, something special was happening, and we, the Cliftons, the family, had to look fancier than we actually were.
You know, when my mum whipped out the Viennetta, the adults got the Viennetta and we just got the home-brand ice cream in a bowl. We didn't actually get it as a kid.
It's like our childhood's a mirror, because if we wanted ice cream,
treated.
You were lucky to get, we'd get the biggest tub of home brand ice cream there is. You'd probably only get two spoonfuls of it though.
If you were lucky, it was Neapolitan.
Home brand topping on the top.
And then they'd have the Viennetta up at the adults' table.
But again, even Mum would only rip out the Viennetta. She'd whip it out if it was, a very fancy occasion.
Mm.
And I go back to one occasion in particular where we met another family camping and Mum and Dad got quite friendly with this other mum and dad and the family or whatever. So Mum, when the camping was over, invited them back to our home.
Yeah.
And I could tell that Mum was keeping up with the Joneses because cleaning the house and
Sunday best.
All that, you kids be on your best behaviour.
Wash behind
and
your ears.
I remember Mum serving wine out of a bottle and I thought, oh, that's new.
It's not in a box tonight,
it's not
guys.
In, not in cardboard. That grabs me. I still remember, and this would have been, nearly 25 years ago, but I still remember Mum whipping out for the main course chicken Kievs.
Oh.
So she pulled out the deep fryer.
Fancy.
And she fried up some chicken Kievs. And of course, when you have such an auspicious, fancy evening, the only way to round all that out is by serving up the Viennetta.
The Viennetta.
For the dessert. And I do remember just standing back, like looking at this spread Mum put together, just taking it all in, and we were actually allowed to have a bit of the Viennetta this night. And I just remember eating it going, like, it's the equivalent now of going, that's what winning $1 million Alpha Bucks would be like. That spread
that
Leslie Clifton set up in the early 90s. Well done, Mum. Well done.
Guaranteeing a millionaire is going to come out of $1 million Alpha Bucks. It's going to be insane. And so we thought, well, why not talk to someone who deals with millionaires all the time, who sells $1 million properties on a daily, and who is all about the luxury. We welcome Gavin Rubenstein from Lux Listing Sydney's. You can find that on Amazon Prime Video. How are you going, Gavin?
Really good, and appreciate the opportunity.
Gavin. Yeah, Gabby's obsessed with this show.
I literally
it's all I'm hearing about.
It on the weekend.
So she's going to get a bit fangirly and a bit stupid at times. So you've been warned, mate.
No problem.
Firstly, okay, so Gabby said it in her intro. You do deal with millionaires literally on a daily basis.
Correct.
What's the difference between
a millionaire and someone who's just, I was going to say poor, but that's a bit harsh. What's the difference between,
like, normal?
Like, what's the characteristics of a millionaire compared to, like, the average Australian? What's different about them?
It's an interesting question, you know. Like, the average sell price, I'll sell, is around $4.6 million.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't really categorize people by their wealth. I mean, generally, people are just different. And I think the greatest thing about this business is being exposed to different personalities and learning as much as possible about, you know, human beings. It's an interesting process given how emotional residential sales can be, and particularly when you put so much money into the mix.
So much money. So if someone were to become a millionaire overnight, which someone is going to become a millionaire overnight, what would you recommend for them when it comes to property? Is that somewhere you'd put your money, or is it more about creating the luxury lifestyle and putting money, bits and pieces here and there?
It is the only way to put your money is real estate. I mean, money goes in the ground, you know where it is. You know, over time, phenomenal things can happen with that if managed correctly. The sort of people I represent and watching what they've built for themselves over time by mass investing into real estate, I mean, particularly in the eastern suburbs, which is where I sell, has just been nothing short of incredible.
Absolutely amazing. And of course, you being a real estate agent, I'm going to say, put your money into real estate. I shouldn't have even bothered.
Of course.
What are even our shares? They're a waste of time. That's what they are.
You're all about luxury yourself, though, Gavin. So, you know, maybe a tailored suit or a nice car to go with the mansion.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, early on in my career, I used to spend money probably on, you know, the wrong things. But I genuinely believe there's no right or wrong way. Like, harness your passion. If you're out there, you're working hard. You know, invest in your future, but also along the way, your passion. You know, you got to be happy and you've got to harness that positive energy. And I've always been a big believer in that.
Quickly, before we let you go, we're on with Gavin Rubenstein from Lux Listings Sydney. What is it about real estate porn? Like, there's your show. There's so many shows out there where...
so good.
And I call it real estate porn, where you sit there...
It's just a matter of time.
Oh. Good on you, Gavin! That's awesome, man. We are going to make someone a millionaire, guaranteed, with Hits Million Dollar Alpha Bucks. It could be you. Sign up to the free listener app. Search for Cliffo and Gabby. Then fill out the competition entry form and see this guy. The show's killing it. Gabby's just binging it like nothing else. Lux Listing Sydney. It's available
Thanks
now
for having
on
me.
Amazon Prime Video. Good on you, Gavin. Thanks, mate.
All the best, guys.
Cliffo and Gabby's Naughty 640. Can you handle what I'm
about to do? I don't know if Gabby loves this, because I see the looks on your face, but I think it's time for producer Brooke's favourite segment of the week. Because she... Brooke, you're filthy of mind, and I love it.
Oh, I'm the filthiest. I mean, how can I not love something that has the word naughty in it?
Yeah. Oh. Wow. Brooke's showing her real true colours today.
If her mother could see into her mind, I'll tell you what, she'd be outraged. So it's parental erotica.
Mm.
It's life as a husband and a father, but written 50 Shades of Grey style, always from my wife's perspective.
I believe it's worse than 50 Shades of Grey, to be honest.
I'll take that. This is based on cooking dinner last night.
Okay.
So I was running late, so I just banged this one out this morning.
Oh.
Naughty 640. Volume 41.
Okay.
It's long, wettish, fat and round. I can't wait to get it in me. It's perfectly warm to the touch, a little moist in all the right ways. Juice oozes from one end when I poke it. How good are quality pork sausages for bangers and mash night? The only thing hotter than the anticipation in the air is the boiling water the spuds now call home. Once soft like an ample bosom, he drains his starchy delights before slipping them back into the pot from whence they came. Next comes a big, fat, creamy knob of butter, not that margarine crap. Full fat only inside this girl. Once the potatoes are sufficiently mashed, his long, greasy snag slides from pan hot to plate, finished with a side of veg. This girl is about to enter her own personal sausage heaven. I pick up my weapon, my steak knife of choice. I slide it slowly backwards and forwards across the length of the snag before lifting his meat portion directly to my awaiting meat mouth.
It's everything I dream of and more. He looks deep into my eyes. Anticipation fills the air. Chewy, I whisper through mashed potato mouthfuls. Ain't no swallowing this snack whole.
Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher have admitted that they don't bathe or bathe their kids every day. It's become massive headlines all around the world.
It's interesting.
It is interesting. This is just a little bit of what Mila said.
When I had children, I also didn't wash them every day. Like, I wasn't the parent that bathed my newborns ever.
If you can see the dirt on them, clean them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's no point.
They went on to talk about their own very liberal bathing.
Well, that's the thing. They were talking about their own routines and how that does pass on to their kids in their household. So 13, 10, 60, we want to know, do you not bathe every day? Because that's the general consensus, I guess.
Rachel,
we want someone outside of it.
Tani, Lana, Ellie, Jono, all these people are saying, yes, they bathe every day. But Kelly on 13, 10, 60, I love this, going a little against the grain. Kelly, how often do you bathe?
Look, probably every second day. I've got young children. Like, I'll be lucky to get them out the door with all their bits.
So yours is more of a time thing rather than a hygiene thing?
Yeah, but shower in a can, like, you know.
Yeah, a bit of the old.
Shower in a can, a bit of deodorant.
Underneath. You don't.
No shower in a can.
You don't work, obviously, like if you're a landscaper or something.
No.
You'd be doing that, but what takes up most of your time? Do you work in an office or making money?
No, I'm a disability support worker.
Oh, that's pretty physical.
Oh, well, look, it can be, and maybe those days I'll shower.
All right.
Hey,
but only if it's every second day.
Yeah, fair enough.
Tegan's here. Tegan, you can beat it. How often do you bathe, Tegan?
I'm lucky to bathe once every 3 days.
What's the reasoning behind it?
None really. I'm lazy more than anything.
I love how honest you are, Tegan. That's brilliant.
Is it a bit of a job when you get in there, Tegan? Like, I don't know. Because I'm just thinking, I'm a bigger guy. I'm a sweaty guy. Finally bathed every 3 days. The people I work with, like, and Gabby, you would know it. So obviously, you know, you're not the most filthy human, Tegan, if you can go up to 3 days without showering.
Well, I work in an office. If I exercise, I'll shower. Sometimes my husband reminds me.
So sometimes you do take
it
a little far.
That. Things are getting a little little frisky. No, darling. Shower time first.
Let's just hold that thought.
Off you go. The Hit Breakfast Show.